Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of issues, etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back. We're going to be talking about temptation for the next half hour of the program. Pastor Mark Buto will be our guest. Now, it's pretty clear there is a promise of escape from temptation. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And many have read that and said, there's a way out of every temptation. And then they go looking for it and often don't find the way out of temptation. How often we struggle with temptation. People say, I just can't find a way out from under this temptation. It's with me every day. What do I do? Has God really given us a way out? Pastor Mark Buto is pastor of Bethel Lutheran Church in DuQuoin, Illinois. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, Given a Way Out. Mark, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Is the way out simply to grit your teeth, bear down, and resist the temptation?
Well, you know, Todd, the Spirit works in His people and works in us new motives, new ways of thinking, new ways of hearing God's Word and learning to live. And on the outset of it, we ought to say that we as Christians aren't to go looking for temptation to find out, just to prove that we're strong enough or something like that. But when we do fall into temptation, when we're overcome with temptation and even overcome with sin, it's oftentimes very difficult because we're still dragged around by our sinful flesh to figure out what the way out is. And a lot of people try to make this passage into something about having enough willpower to overcome whatever it is we're facing. And if we leave it on ourselves, if it's just a matter of our having enough willpower or acting Christian enough, then we're going to be doomed. And so that's not really the way out that St. Paul is speaking of in this passage.
So set it in its context. You say that's important to understand to what situation Paul is addressing these words as he writes.
In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul is talking about the Israelites and the ways in which they tempted God, especially in the wilderness. They were brought across the Red Sea. God delivered them from their enemies. He fed them with bread. He provided for their, for their every need as they're wandering through the desert. And it seems like at every turn, they would, run off to worship Baal or to make a golden calf or to fall into some idol worship or just simply turn away from God and stop trusting in Him. And what Paul is really getting at is number one, that's a warning to us. Don't let ourselves, don't fall into unbelief and turn away from the Lord. And yet at the same time, He's also telling us that the Lord provides for us a way out. And we see that pretty clearly in the context in which He's talking. For example, He says, many sinned and then the Lord sent the fiery snakes. And then not too many verses after that, He says, when there's temptation, the Lord will send a way out. I think what St. Paul's referring to there is going back to the incident with the snakes biting everyone, and the way out from that God showed them was that He had Moses make the bronze serpent and stick it up on a pole. And so when Jesus later refers to that incident, He says, as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, the Son of Man is going to be lifted up. And so what Paul's really pointing us to there is saying, look, this temptation and overcoming temptation and unbelief and all these things is not a simply a matter of, cranking up some willpower. It's that God Himself provides you a way out, and that way out is Christ, who's lifted up for our sins and takes all of that into Himself.
See, that I think is it's so obvious when you read it that way, Mark, and when you understand what Paul is saying, the context in which he is saying these things. Someone will respond, of course, well, that's just too easy. That's like saying Jesus is the answer to every Sunday school question. What's the way out? Jesus is. Be more specific.
Yeah, I know what you're saying there too, Todd, and that would be, you know, sort of an accusation of reading the text this way, of saying, well, look, you're just, you know, that way you can just go ahead and fall into the temptation. You know, first of all, we want to point out that as Christians, our Lord calls us to struggle against sin and temptation. You know, it's not a good idea as a Christian to put yourself in a situation where there's going to be some temptation to sin that, you know, is going to overcome your whatever. That, you know, there is such a thing as making, you know, good choices and all of those sorts of things. But I think this is far more than simply, you know, the example of, you know, are you going to have that one more drink or not, or are you going to, you know, you're alone with your girlfriend and, you know, things are getting sort of hot and heavy or something, what's going to happen next? This really goes to the heart of what our problem is as sinners, and that's our unbelief. And that was Israel's problem. They continually saw the marvelous works of God, and instead of glorifying God, they continued just sort of wandering off in unbelief. And God continued to call them back, oftentimes, you know, using things to punish them, for example, the snakes, but always saving them. It wasn't a matter of, hey, get on board and, you know, do the right thing. It was always a matter of, I'm going to bail you out again because I'm your saving God. I bailed you out of Egypt. I bailed you out of, you know, being starving and thirsty. I'm bailing you out of, you know, the bronze or the snakes that are coming. And so what Paul is teaching us is our temptation, our way out of temptation, isn't something in us that we need to fix. It's something that God provides for us and has, in fact, already provided for us in Christ, who's lifted up on the cross. And his being lifted up on the cross means our unbelief, our despair, our lusting after the things of this world, all of that is washed away and blotted out by the blood of the Lamb of God, who was sacrificed for our sins on Calvary.
It's part of our problem that we view temptation as though kind of a series of isolated incidents. Here comes a temptation. I draw my sword. I thrust. I parry. That one passes me by. Kind of like a video game. I know I'm on to the next enemy. I thrust. I parry. That one passes me by, and I still survive. This notion that somehow we can emerge unscathed entirely from temptation if we just don't do the sin the temptation suggests, we can somehow remain sinless in our record.
Right, and then this, and again, what we're doing by talking that way is we're reading the text as if St. Paul is encouraging us to look for the way out in ourselves. You know, a lot of people sort of have this impression of the Lord that he does something for you, but what he does for you is give you an option. You know, it's as if, you know, you've got two doors, you know, and you know, you only, the Lord puts that other door there for you, but it's up to you to open that, you know, open that door and walk through it to safety. But what's really going on when we do that is we're really just laying it back upon ourselves to say, look, when it comes to temptation, sin, these sorts of things that we find, these problems we find ourselves in, what we need to do is somehow find in ourselves to figure out the way out, figure that the way out is from God, and then act upon it. But the scriptures are very clear, and this is, and again, the best example is the one Paul gives with the bronze snake, or the serpents attacking. There you have something that they had fallen into, their idolatry, and it was God himself who was punishing them. And so the only way out, if God is going to allow these things to come, and in fact, in that instance, sent them himself, the only way out is going to be one that God himself provides. And it's not one that he provides such that, you know, he's testing our obedience in some sort of, you know, do we have the willpower to do it? He is delivering to us something we would never be able to have for ourselves, which is, you know, our salvation and our Savior. So that it's God himself who's bringing us out of this temptation.
Let's talk with Kathy, who's listening in St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hi. This scripture was quoted, misquoted over and over and over to me once we became Lutheran. I don't know if it's a particular problem within the Lutheran Church or if it's just a problem within Christianity. But it was, we were going through trials, difficulties because we have some special needs who was then diagnosed, he has Down syndrome, and then diagnosed with autism and so forth and so on. And it just continued to get to get worse and not better, and we did need help with him. And so the what we were told over and over is God won't give you more than you can handle. And they were using this scripture and saying, basically taking a gospel passage, turning it into law, taking something that's talking about temptation and making it apply to trials. And I felt like they were just wiping their hands and walking away. And it was absolutely the most painful thing. And it is not meant to be used like that. Could you discuss that?
Well, thank you very much, Kathy, and thanks for listening to St. Charles, Missouri, A Confusion of Trials with Temptations, at the very least.
Well, I tell you what, Todd, that it seems like when this passage is often quoted, that's kind of the way it's paraphrased without even referring to the text itself. It's just sort of said as, you know, God won't give you more than you can handle, which I think is one of the more ridiculous things that people say to try and comfort others. Our Lord himself couldn't even carry his own cross without help. The notion that somehow, you know, God's just sort of, you know, in high school we built bridges and, you know, we hung buckets of sand and then we kept adding sand and see how far until they snapped, you know, as if God is just sort of testing us to see how long it takes until we snap is just ridiculous. And as Kathy points out, there's just no comfort there. The comfort of this passage is that when we are lusting after the things of this world and when we are despairing of being able to cope with the things of this world, when we are trusting in other things and despairing of God's mercy, the way out is that our Lord has been lifted up on the cross and has answered for all of these things. And that doesn't make the temptations any easier. It doesn't make them any simpler to bear. It doesn't make them less painful. But what it does preach and teach to us is that whatever things we're suffering, and even the temptations to come to not trust, our Lord is faithful, and the blood of his Son blots out all of our sins.
Pastor Mark,
and so, go ahead.
Well, we're just going to take a break, and when we come back, I'll let you pick up right there. Pastor Mark Buteau is pastor of Bethel Lutheran Church in DuCoin, Illinois, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Given a Way Out. It's Wednesday afternoon, August the 4th. I'm Todd Wilkin. You can join us with questions or comments like Kathy has. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. The seduction. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Temptation, go home, Lord.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Mark Buto is our guest. We're talking about temptation and the way that God has made out. Mark, pick up where you left off. You were talking about the responding to Kathy's call, where you know it's almost deplorable to hear Christians simply pass off another person's struggle and saying, God said you can handle it. Have a nice day. Where are you going to go next?
The thing that Kathy needs to hear in a situation like that is not some false comfort of, you know, it'll all work out in the end, or you know, the Lord will just give you, it won't give you more than you can handle. And what Kathy needs to hear is that the way out has been given, and that every moment of despair that she has, every difficulty in trying to deal with this gift that God has given her of disabled or special needs person, all the struggles that she faces, all the temptations to doubt God's goodness and mercy in those instances, those have all been answered by the blood of the cross. And she needs to know that when she blows up in anger about something that, you know, she just can't sort of stop coming, or when she breaks down in tears, that all of that has been answered for by the blood of the cross, and her Lord in those times has never left her side. And the way out is not her sort of, you know, always putting on the happy smiley face and saying, yes, I'm dealing with it, but it's that her sins have been answered for, and that the Spirit is indeed alive and well and at work in her, to work in her to do the loving things and carry out the duties of her vocation that she needs. But that way out is Christ, and it's not laid on Kathy at that point. It's laid upon Jesus and his perfect sacrifice for our sins.
Paul asks a good question in Milwaukee. He says, talk about playing with temptation in our minds. In the end, we reject the sinful deed itself, but entertain the temptation to the point of enjoying the process.
It seems like what Paul is driving at there is maybe, in some sense, is a false distinction. There's sort of a way of saying, well, you know, I don't know what a good example might be. Something like, you know, I'm thinking about this woman to whom I'm not married, and while I would never act upon that, there's sort of, you know, in my mind things going on. And our Lord's pretty clear there that those temptations and sins are actual sins. That, I mean, just because we don't act upon a sinful thought in our head doesn't mean that, or act on it, you know, for real, doesn't mean it's not still sin in our head because of our sinful nature and the way that we're turning towards these sorts of things.
Well, another thing in Paul's comment brings to mind for me is that we can say without any doubt that Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, as I am, as you are, without sin. But I cannot, I don't think you could either, Mark, say that I am ever tempted without sin. I may not give in to the full-blown prospect of the temptation, whatever it may be, but the simple fact that I find it appealing and
right,
and something I might think about doing, maybe not now, but maybe later, that is still an inclination to sin.
Absolutely, Todd, and that's a danger that we want to make distinctions wherein we sort of see, once again, that's us doing the work of giving ourselves a way out. And in that case, the way out is I didn't really do it. I just thought about it. And that's, you know, in the Lord's sight, that's just as much, you know, deadly sin as anything else. The thing about this, when we talk about Jesus being the way out, we don't just mean you sort of say, well, here's, you know, this temptation or here's this thing I'm struggling with, so let me sort of close my eyes and think about Jesus for a while, you know, because he died on the cross. When we say that Jesus is the way out, we mean it literally in the sense that where we need to be in times of temptation and sins that we struggle with is to flee to where Christ is promised to be now, and that would take us to church and to the divine service. It would take me to my pastor reminding me of my baptism, hearing my confession, absolving me of my sins, giving me Christ's body and blood to eat and drink. Over and over again, I can never have those gifts of Jesus too much, but that is where the Jesus who was raised up on the cross is given to us, so that his being sacrificed overcomes our temptation. Remember, in the Old Testament, the Lord told Moses to tell the Israelites, when you are bitten by a snake, look up at the bronze serpent. Our looking up at the crucified Christ isn't sort of a looking up sort of off into space thinking about him. Our looking up, as it were, is running to the place where he has promised to be, namely in his church with his holy gifts that actually deliver to us forgiveness, life, salvation, and the Holy Spirit, that we'd be protected from these things that would try to destroy us.
With a few minutes left here, Mark, would you speak a pastoral word to the issue of not intentionally putting yourself in harm's way? That is, thinking ahead, if you will, to avoid temptations that any situation, a person, circumstance might present to you.
Well, that's good. It would be good pastor if I say, don't put yourself in situations where you know that you have an opportunity to get in trouble or to harm another person or, you know, to fall into sins and so on. As we said before, you know, there is such a thing as making good decisions. And part of that comes from the wisdom of the Spirit as we continue to hear and meditate upon God's Word. We meditate upon His commandments, you know, and so as we learn more and more, say, the seventh commandment, what it means not to steal, then it's not simply a matter of I'm going to go and, you know, just stand in a bank when they've got the vault open and hope that, you know, God will give me the strength not to go and steal any money or something like that. You know, as Christ himself says, you know, you shall not test the Lord your God. You don't tempt the Lord. You don't jump off the temple just to see if he's gonna save you. Rather, and again, that's putting it back on us. I'm gonna find some strength in myself to overcome these things, so bring them on. No, we live in Christ, and we look for all the opportunities and all the instances where temptation comes upon us. We direct our minds and our hearts to Christ and what he's done for us, and again, to his means of grace and his church. So we don't go looking for those temptations, but when they come, again, we flee to Christ, who is lifted up for us on Calvary.
Before we let you go, tell us a little bit about this magazine for Lutheran youth, Higher Things Magazine.
Higher Things Magazine, Dare to be Lutheran. If you would like more information about it, you can head over to www.higherthings.org and click on the magazine links. We offer a 4-times-a-year magazine with articles teaching on a variety of topics written by pastors, geared especially toward kids, especially around high school age youth. And it's great because that means, you know, even adults will get something out of it too. But often with a lot of humor, with a lot of good examples and so on, but always delivering Christ, always directing us to his means of grace. Great articles that come out. And you can find more information about that on the website.
Find out more about Higher Things Magazine. Find a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Mark Buto is pastor of Bethel Lutheran Church in DuQuoin, Illinois. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things Magazine titled Given a Way Out. Mark, thank you very much for being our guest.
No problem, Todd. Thanks for having me.
In the second hour of the program, we're going to take up three topics. First, Robert Spencer is going to join us from Jihad Watch. He'll bring us an update on the building of a mosque near Ground Zero. There's been one more hurdle cleared, if you will, in New York City for the building of that mosque that is come to symbolize. The thing hasn't even gone up yet, but it has already come to symbolize a great divide on several issues: terrorism, the meaning of 9/11, that great tragedy, the place of Islam in our society, the relationship of terrorism to Islam. That debate is all coming to a head yet again with the prospect of a mosque being built near Ground Zero in Manhattan. Robert Spencer will be our guest. Dr. Andrew Steinman will join us after that. We'll continue our Women in the Bible series. Today we'll take up one of the biggies from the Old Testament, Queen Esther. A very interesting story, a story that is just compelling in its intrigue, the back and forth, the turning of the tables. It foreshadows several things, most of which is Christ himself and his saving work. And yet, many have noted in reading the book of Esther that God isn't even mentioned there. Now, he is there, but how so? We'll find out as we talk about Esther's life and times with Dr. Andrew Steinman of Concordia University Chicago in the second hour of the program. Then we'll round everything off on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 4th, talking with Brian Brown, Executive Director of the National Organization for Marriage. There has been a federal court challenge to the constitutionality of California's Prop 8 that would have said marriage in California one of the largest, most influential of our states, is a man and a woman. That's what the voters voted for. Challenged in court, a ruling is expected sometime today. Brian Brown will be with us to bring us an update and tell us the latest about that federal challenge to California's Prop 8 in the second hour of the program. Join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Today we've left a place there for you to leave your questions and comments on Esther, facebook.com/issuesetc. We are all tempted in every way. It is the constant atmosphere in which we find ourselves. If we're not tempted from the world around us, then it's from the flesh and our own sinful selves. And of course, the devil's always there doing his dirty work as well. Temptation is the constant struggle. What is the answer when you fall into temptation? When you actually give in to the temptation, what is the answer to that? Don't do it again? No. It's the perfect life and sinless life of Jesus Christ as your substitute. He's also the same answer when you're struggling against temptation. I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 of Issues, etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, etc. Issues, etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.